If you don't know by now, you should. It's Mother's Day. There's a lot that goes along with that. There's a lot you need to do if your mother is still with you. And there are those who grieve whose mother is not with them. This coming week, the 18th, marks the anniversary of my mother's death. And I remember that day back in 2007 when my mother passed away. And there isn't a Mother's Day that seems right since then. Because it's someone that is the foundation of who you are. So those of you who have mothers that you get to bless today in one form or another, I encourage you to do that. This is not going to be a traditional Mother's Day sermon, and I'm going to apologize in advance. So I've been working on trying to do my sermons thematically each month and centering a lot upon discipleship, and I wanted the month of May to center upon following Jesus, hearing Him, following Him. And I got my sermons all set up in April to do that and sent it out to our worship leaders, and I never even thought, got Mother's Day in there. You should have a Mother's Day sermon. So this is not going to be a Mother's Day sermon. This is going to be a sermon about hearing the voice of Jesus and following our shepherd. But I do know the voice of my mother. I'll tell you, even though she has been deceased since 2007, there are actual times when I close my eyes, I literally see her face in the darkness behind my eyes, and it's there. And that has always been for me, by the way. Even when I was a little kid, I would sometimes close my eyes, and I would see my mother's face with my eyes closed. But my mother's voice, my mother was not 5 foot. She was 4'10 and a half, she would say 4'11. And that was at her prime. She didn't understand that a person's bones do compress as time goes on, but she was a very powerful woman. She was the disciplinarian in my family. She was the one that you did not want to make upset. Not that you wanted dad upset. Mom would do something about it. Dad would give you his, I can't, you know, you're really disappointed in me. I hate that you've done what you've done. Of course, you're feeling bad. Man, mom, woo! Man, she'd slap you across, well, any part of the body that was close enough to her. That may not work in today's world. I get that. And I love my mother. She was not an abusive person to me. But she would make statements like, do you think I am speaking to hear my own voice? There is no right answer to that question. Okay? No matter what you say, it will be wrong and you will be disciplined. So when that phrase comes, just be aware. But it begs me to think about knowing the voice of the one that I love. And sometimes we don't always hear the voice of our Savior. Have you ever experienced a terrible cell phone call? Now, I will tell you, when cell phones came out, now I always liked the latest and greatest and the newest technology. I was always a techno person. But living here and in my office, my reception in Glen Rock and in out here is hit and miss on a good day. Okay? And it's interesting. So I'll talk to somebody on the phone, on my cell phone, and they will say something like, well, can you hear me now? And it's like every other syllable, not even every other word. It's like bits and pieces of every word you kind of get. And the interesting part to me is the thought process is, If I shout louder, it will be clearer. I don't know why that works on the phone, but that's the thought process. So you can't hear me because of this bad connection. So I'm now going to shout, even though we are 300 miles apart. I'm going to shout into my phone, and that will help you to hear me better. Sometimes there's just simply a bad connection. But there are other types of difficulties. How about going to a restaurant? Carrie and I will go out to eat, and I don't know if it's just me, but especially if we go to like a Texas Roadhouse, okay? I don't know what happens in there, but every word is amplified unreal, okay? And to have a conversation at our own table, I feel like I have to shout to be heard because of all the noise going on in the restaurant. I get that sometimes it's hard to hear because of that outside noise. There is another time, and it's one that I shouldn't mention because my wife is here, but there are times in which Carrie will be having a conversation, and I am so zoned out, I have no clue what she said. Zero. None. I mean, I'm sitting there. My ears could hear, but my mind wasn't listening. And then I want to pretend like I heard everything. So I'm trying to catch up through the conversation to try and enter into it so she doesn't know that I zoned out, which is, she always knows when I zone out anyway, so I don't know why I'm trying to cover my own tracks. But sometimes I don't hear simply because I really do choose to not listen. And that is an obstacle to hearing. Sometimes it's totally about me. My point is that if we are wanting to develop any relationship with a person, we're going to have communication. We're going to have to be able to talk, to listen, to hear, to understand. It requires us to give our attention to the one who we care about, who is talking or speaking. And there are many times in our spiritual life, and I use that very generically, when we don't hear the voice of Jesus. And there are multiple reasons why. Sometimes our connection to him just isn't where it ought to be. Not his connection to us, but my connection to him. Sometimes it truly is the noise of everything that is going on in the world around me. It's that ADD in me. I hear every single piece of noise that is out there, and it just makes hearing Jesus harder. And sadly, but honestly, there are times in which I just kind of zone out spiritually. I'm there, but I'm not. I'm just, my body is present, but my mind is somewhere else. It's absent. And I have to recognize those times, and I have to decide what it means to hear. So I've mentioned that there are times in which people don't hear and different reasons behind that. I want to just mention one occasion, and it's Saul of Tarsus. And Saul is going to Damascus, and he is going there with letters in order to bind those who belong to the way, the followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, clear up in Damascus and bring them down for a trial of blasphemy and of heresy against Judaism, and to stand a trial against that. And as we know, as Saul was traveling, this light from heaven shines brighter than the noonday sun, literally knocking him to the ground. And when Paul tells a story again for us in Acts 26, he says in verse 14, it says, "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" I've mentioned this verse before because it's one that does stand out to me. There are times in which truth can be presented to somebody. And no matter how you present that truth, okay, whatever your language, your communication, how you're trying to speak it, that person simply refuses to hear truth. They have literally closed their minds. Jesus says to Saul, "I have been prodding you, goading you. And it's hard on you to kick against what I have been trying to do in your life." And the more I sit with his conversion story, and especially this telling of it in Acts 26, I find it amazing because Saul, the young man Saul, comes seemingly from a well-off home up over in Tarsus, okay? And he's sent to be taught by Gamaliel in Jerusalem. So the expense of that, mom and dad sending him there, the expense of that, to be trained at the feet of this absolutely almost worshipped rabbi, to have that one-on-one training with Gamaliel, to grow up so knowledgeable about God's commandments and teachings and what we call the Old Testament, and probably studying it day after day and memorizing it, and then as Christianity begins to take its root from the crucifixion of Jesus all the way to the time of Stephen, Saul has been wrapped into this, and he doesn't hear God at all. And that amazes me, because I don't think Saul is inherently an evil person. Now, he calls himself a chief of sinners, and he really downplays his own goodness. But Saul, Jesus says to Saul, "It's difficult on you, because I've been trying to push you, and you have been pushing back. It's much easier to just go along with the way I'm pushing you. It's better for you." But he just couldn't hear until this time. Until Jesus does literally the supernatural. And in his blindness, he sees the resurrected Jesus. And his life changes tremendously. Hearing Jesus. We live, we are sustained by every word of God. His word, what we call the Bible, is the nourishment for our soul. The Hebrew writer begins by saying, "Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." The Hebrew writer makes a statement that says, God spoke in various different ways. In the times past, God spoke to the fathers directly, people like Abraham or Moses. He would speak directly to them. He said, and then he would speak to the people through the prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah or Daniel at different points in time. He would speak to someone and they would speak. He said, but in these last days, he says, what God did is God spoke to us through Jesus. When John writes his gospel, John opens by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John wanted his readers, probably 30 plus years, maybe 50 plus years, removed from the timeline of the physical ministry of Jesus. He wanted his readers to understand that Jesus himself is God's very message. That's why, as John would write for us during that, what we call that Last Supper, when Philip would say, show us the Father and that's enough. Remember Jesus saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus becomes the living Word of God, the very message of God. This morning, I want to just spend a little bit of time. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open to John chapter 6. Or, excuse me, John chapter 1, the first six verses. John chapter 10, I'll get this right in a moment. Just look at the screen, it'll be easier. I still think it's better to read in your own Bible. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Jesus doing the talking. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. I love the imagery here. We are literally about 6 months prior to the crucifixion. The earthly ministry of Jesus was beginning to wrap up. And as Jesus speaks to them, as we read in verse 6, the people listening did not understand. They didn't understand, and my question has always been, why? The Bible doesn't specifically state it in this particular passage, but I do believe I know the answer. The answer is they didn't want to hear him. The answer is they didn't listen for the right voice. The answer is they allowed everything else to interfere with hearing God. But Jesus, to those who did hear his voice, Jesus wanted them to understand an imagery that truly takes you all the way back throughout most of the Old Testament. A shepherd and sheep. You know, we often go to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. But in that psalm, David would say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What David says, what Jesus is going to be bringing out here in John chapter 10, is the shepherd leads, the sheep follow. And the shepherd can take them through the most difficult of places. Now, he will lead us beside the still waters. He will lead us in the green pastures. He will restore our soul. But even when we're going through those difficulties, that valley of the shadow, not death itself, but the very feeling of the overwhelmingness of darkness, that the world is literally crumbling around me. David writes, and Jesus is going to use the same type of imagery. He said, I've learned to not fear. You know what I love about that? Is he didn't say, I learned to understand. I don't think he always did. I think he trusted. I think he always did that. I don't always understand. But I do seek to trust. Even when all seems to be so difficult, my shepherd is leading me through it. It is hearing that voice. I love to hear. I will watch every now and again tiny little video clips of either my mom or my dad that has been posted like on Facebook, you know, something silly that happened. I just want to hear their voice. I just want to hear their voice. It's not so much what was going on. It's the voice that I miss. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And they know me so well that they follow me. I lead, they follow. They trust me. They trust me because they know that I've always, now I'm reading into this, but if you go throughout John chapter 10, they trust, the sheep trust the shepherd because the shepherd, as Jesus would go on to say, is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. The sheep trust the shepherd because the shepherd always does what is best for them. And whenever they need help, that shepherd is there for them. So they have heard that voice time and time again in both the good times and the bad times. And I know this is imagery of an animal, but still they hear this voice and they so trust the shepherd that when the shepherd speaks, they listen. I am not an animal lover. I know you all know that, and 99% of you are, and that's great. You know, your life, do what you want. So, Carrie has a dog. We've always had dogs since we've been married. And I always say it's Carrie's dog. I do that for a couple of reasons. That way I don't have to take care of the dog. I don't have to take the dog out. I can wash my hands of the dog. Okay? But that dog knows my voice. Now, he knows Carrie. There's zero doubt. I mean, he's all over her. But when she is away, when she is gone somewhere, and I say, hey, Mungo, you want to go for a walk? We're sitting in the living room. Man, that dog is up. He's out by the door. He's waiting. He's wagging his tail saying, come on, aren't you lazy? Go over here by the door. Let's go. He knows my voice. And that's enough for him. That's enough for him. Hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of Jesus in our day and age is not easy. I want to take you back to 1 Samuel before we close. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm just going to tell you the story. Samuel is a young boy, and the Bible says that at that time that the word of God had not been heard often. Okay, so God hadn't been speaking very frequently. And Samuel, this young boy, is being raised in the temple there, the tabernacle. He's being raised by Eli. And he goes to bed and he hears his name being called. Samuel. So the boy Samuel gets up and he goes to Eli where Eli has been laying down and he says, "Yes, I am here." And Eli says, "Why?" This is the Jeffrey vernacular of 1 Samuel 3. And Eli says, "Because you called me." And he said, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." He goes back to bed. It happens the second time. Goes to Eli. Happens the third time. He goes to Eli. After the third time, Eli begins to say, I think something more is going on here. He said, "Go back to bed. And if you hear the voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant hears.'" And Samuel goes back to bed. And God says his name twice, Samuel. And having been told how to hear the voice, and to know it was the voice of God, Samuel replies, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." And God tells him some things that's about to happen, especially to Eli's sons. I share that with you because I was blessed to have someone help me learn how to hear the voice of God. And it is a practice I don't do often enough. I try to do. I try to do regularly, but it's not one I need to come back to. And that is this. I was asked by a person when I was struggling, and I asked them, I said, "Now, how do you just know it's God that's doing the leading, the prompting, the speaking to your heart?" And what I was told is to just find a very quiet place. Get rid of my cell phone. Get rid of all noise. And if possible, even turn off the lights so you don't have any visual distraction. And he said, "And just sit and say, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.'" I said, "Okay, and then what?" He said, "Wait." Now, those who do know me a little bit know that waiting is probably not my number one quality. And I said, "So wait how long?" I just needed an answer. 60 seconds, 3 minutes. He said, "Just wait." He said, "But when you feel your mind beginning to stray, go back and say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" I said, "This sounds a little mystic to me." He said, "Do you want to hear?" So I did. Because I'm a preacher and I was at the church building at Whitehall at the time, I went upstairs, I turned off all the lights, I went up to the podium area and the communion table area at the front of the building, and I just knelt down and I just prayed, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And nothing happened. So I took his advice, and I just continued to wait. And every time I could feel myself, my anxiety, I don't know why, I could feel myself wanting to say, okay, this is dumb. I would just breathe. And I would say, speak, Lord. It literally was about 15 minutes. And there was not a voice. I did not hear a voice. But scripture started to come to my mind. Now, I read my Bible frequently. But specific scripture started to come to my mind. And I sat there thinking through and then quoting that scripture in my head. And based upon that scripture, I really believed I was being asked by God to do a particular action. There was nothing more than what the Bible would have said to do, okay? That wasn't anything weird. And it was absolutely the right thing, that the action needed to be done, that the other person needed to find out. But it wasn't until I could hear God, till I could shut out the noise, that I would say, speak. And it was not a voice, it was His word itself coming into my mind and heart. And over the years, as I have practiced that, I have had, and it happens to me so frequently, and maybe now I look for the scripture or wait for some prompting of scripture. Sometimes I know it's sin that I need to deal with, and so repentance is coming. You know, scripture comes into my mind. Sometimes there is this need to do something for somebody else, and there's this action scripture that comes to my mind. And invariably, it's always the right thing. Sometimes I just need to listen. And again, I am not talking some weird voice in your head telling you weird things to do, go jump off a bridge, none of that, okay? I am receiving God's living word, calling me to live out His living word. But because of my life, I don't always listen. Now, in a technical sense, I guess that's meditating. And that's a biblical word, by the way, so if it feels better, use the word meditating if that works for you. Meditating on His law day and night. And just sitting with God. We're about to sing a song. There's a stirring deep within me. Before we sing this song, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And then I'm going to go right into the song as soon as the prayer is done. But I want to ask you today, is there a stirring within you? Is God trying to speak to you? Is He prompting, leading, guiding you? Is He calling to you? You need to hear the voice of your Savior, your Shepherd. And then you need to rise up and follow it. But it won't happen if you don't listen, and if you don't desire to hear, you will never hear. You'll play a game. I'm asking you, open yourself up to God. Let His living word live in you. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, We just want to open ourselves up to You. And Father, sometimes that's difficult to do because we're so busy with so many other things. And they're all good things. But Father, sometimes we don't hear Your voice because we're busy trying to tell You what we want to hear. Help us, Father, to listen, to rise up and to obey. Father, we ask you now that if there is a stirring within any of us here, that we would respond to that in a way that you have prescribed through your word, that we would let your living word be our guide. Father, help us to hear. Help us to act. Help us to follow the voice of our shepherd. And in his name we pray. Amen.